And now the game where we reward a long career with a short, surreal journey into the unknown. We call it Not My Job. 33 years ago, a show went on the air live, as they say, from New York, and changed TV forever. It also launched a group of heretofore unknown comics into stardom. Some of them flamed out, but one of them just kept on working. In addition to Saturday Night Live, she starred in two hit TV series, first Kate and Allie, and then Third Rock from the Sun. In each of them, Joey seems to be the sole sane person wondering how she got into the middle of all of this stupidity. So she will do well, we think, here. Jane Curtin, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you.
So I have a wonderful job and a wonderful life, but one of the small curses I have to deal with is that people come up to me and they go, oh, Peter, wait, wait, don't tell me, they say.
Ooh.
So my question is, do you get people walking up and saying, Jane, you ignorant slut. Is this something that happens? No?
Yeah.
Am I the first?
I think so.
That's terrible.
People generally have too much respect for me.
They say, thank you, Mrs. Loupner.
Yes.
Yeah, things like that.
Yeah.
All right. So they go for the... Okay. Well, I mean, I always like asking actors... who have had such long and varied careers like yourself.
Let's just emphasize the length.
The length. That's like, yeah.
How many years?
So you've been working since the 1930s. Is that not correct?
Yes.
That's amazing. But it wasn't the first television broadcast featuring yourself.
I was the cathode ray.
You were. I remember your famous line, Watson, come here, I need you. That was great.
That was me.
That was you. So...
Do you realize that Saturday Night Live is as old as Jesus?
Mm.
That's terrifying.
Yeah.
That's something.
That also doesn't bode well for its immediate future, does it?
Why do you think the Pope came here?
Yeah. I did want to ask, though, 33 years ago, just like you said, I mean, it wasn't just a TV show. It was this huge cultural moment. And when you look back on it, I don't know if you look back on it. I mean, how do you
I
feel
can't
about
see
it?
That far.
No, really. when you think about it, you're like, wow, that was a great thing, and we were just lucky. It was just this TV show, and we went on. Or is it like, wow, that was like a moment. That was an amazing thing that I was a part of.
I get carried away by what other people say about it. I didn't really think beyond what I was doing about what the effect was. I felt the effect, but I didn't understand it because I wasn't watching it. I was doing it.
Wow. You were telling us earlier that when the show first began, it was panned by the critics. Nobody thought it would succeed at all.
Oh, no, no. As a matter of fact, one reviewer said I had no right to be on television.
Mm.
Really?
Yeah.
Were you guys aware of that? Did you think, oh, no, we know
we're great? We didn't care.
You didn't care?
We didn't care. We were getting paid $750 a week.
Whoa. And that back in the 70s.
Come on, we're talking scratch here.
And that would buy you a lot of cocaine back in the 70s.
And apparently it did.
Apparently, from what I've read. Although, we've also read that the parties and the whole sort of scene there was crazy every Saturday night, but you were not a part of it. Is that true that you were like, no, not what you were going to do?
Well, no. You know what I hated? I hated missing a day. I hated missing Sunday.
You mean that day that you just
that
sort
day
of...
that when you arrive at back at your apartment at 5 o'clock in the morning... I didn't want to miss the day.
Hmm.
And actually, I sat next to Mick Jagger, and he had his fist up his nose. And I thought, I don't want to see that ever again.
You know, I was about to say, you can't do that. Then I was like, Mick Jagger probably could.
He did.
Was there something up there he wanted?
I didn't wait around to
no,
find
no, no,
out.
No. Because Lord knows what he was going to have when he got his hand out, you know. We also... Once we read somewhere that you actually haven't watched Saturday Night Live since you left the show. Is that true?
Probably.
Was that a conscious decision, or are you just busy now on Saturday night?
Part of it was a conscious decision, and the other part was I can't stay up that late.
Yeah, you know.
So.
Those crazy kids.
Oh, jeez, I don't know how they do it. Honestly.
Wow. Do you ever go back and watch yourself from the very early days? And
do you know what I did? They came out with the DVDs, and they gave us two sets. And so I sent one to my daughter, and she had the DVDs. And I said, have you looked at any? And she said, no, let's look at one. So they pick a disc, and they put it in, and we're just going through the thing, and they stop. And it was a show from the first year. It might have been early on. Mm-hmm. And we watched it. It was so not funny. It was 90 minutes of sheer boredom. People sort of standing around going, what do I do now? It was awful. It was just awful. So I like the myth.
Right, yeah.
That's what I like.
Mrs. Loepner was funny.
I like Mrs. Loepner.
We love Mrs. Loepner. Well, Jane Curtin, we are so delighted to have you with us. We have asked you here this week to play a game that we're calling...
Something About You. I don't know what it is, but it's driving me wild.
Never mind the clothing, the gym, the hair, the witty badinage. One theory of sexual attraction, at least, says that it all comes down to pheromones, those invisible, undetectable to the conscious mind sense, which for some animals are the biochemical equivalent of hay sailing. So we're going to ask you three questions about pheromones taken from Mary Roach's new book about the science of sex called Bunk. Answer two questions correctly, you'll win our prize, Carl Castle's voice on their home answering machine. Carl, who is Jane Curtin playing for?
Jane is playing for Karen Wolf of Manchester, Connecticut.
All right, here we go. Here's your first question. Back in the 1970s, scientists tried to find out if pheromones worked on humans by doing what? A, finding men who had lost their sense of smell and measuring their responses to an attractive actress hired for this purpose. B, asking 65 women to smear supposed monkey pheromones onto their chests before bed to see if their husbands noticed. Or C, observing the behavior of rhesus monkeys who were wearing lingerie recently worn by humans.
I think it's the first one.
You think it's the first one? They found men who had lost their sense of smell. They were anosmic, is the term, and they introduced them to an actress and they measured how excited they got. That's what you think they did?
I think it's A.
You think it's A? I'm afraid it was actually B.
No.
They hired 65 women. They paid them $1 a day to do this. They thought they had discovered this chemical in rhesus monkeys that caused sexual interest in males in rhesus monkeys. Mm. So they synthesized the chemical. They gave it to these women. They asked them to smear it on their chests and go to bed with their husbands and not mention it and see if their husbands reacted in any way. And the answer was, no, they didn't.
But they all kept having flashbacks to their time in Borneo.
Yeah. I'm presuming the husbands were holding a remote at the time.
They what? Honey, did you want something? No.
No, but they started chewing on their toenails. Because all of a sudden they could reach them.
Right. They're picking bugs out of her hair.
Okay. You have two more chances. Some years after that, scientists wanted to test the effect on human females of a compound called androstenone that is found in male sweat. They wanted to see if women were attracted to it. So in order to find out, they did which of these. A, they sprayed it on a particular seat in a dentist's waiting room, and they watched via hidden camera to see if women sat in that chair more often. B, they asked test subjects to sniff it and then look at pictures of a homely man to see if that made the man more attractive. Or C, the scientists simply put it on like cologne and they went out to bars around campus to see how lucky they could get.
I think it's C.
You think it's C, that they just put it on their pulse points?
I do. Mm-hmm.
Went out to the lucky bars. And,
yeah.
Rather, went out to the bars.
Yeah.
And were like, hello.
Yeah, I think it's C.
No, it was actually A, the dentist's chair.
The dentist's chair.
They went to a dentist's office, and they sprayed one chair with it, and then they hid, and they watched to see if that increased the frequency of women sitting in the chair.
They hid? Where did they hide?
They had like...
Under the chair!
Behind the ficus tree, right? No, they had a little camera, and they said that after they sprayed it, more women sat in that chair for reasons that the woman couldn't explain. Well, why did you sit in that chair? I don't know. I just sat in the chair. So that was actually one of the few experiments showing that pheromones might have an effect, although...
If you want a woman to sit in the chair.
Exactly. You have one more chance, Jane. Let's see what you can do. The Smell and Taste Treatment and Research Foundation in Chicago did a test They used special equipment to see what scents women found the most arousing. Surprisingly, the most arousing scent for their test subjects was what? A, Hormel brand canned corned beef hash. B, freshly cut linoleum tiles. Or C, a mixture of cucumbers and Good and Plenty candy.
Oh, it's got to be C.
You're going to go for the Good and Plenty?
Yeah.
You're right. Let's talk about this a minute. Why were you so certain that it was...
Well, when you think about it, I mean, cucumbers smell great.
Yeah. And Good and Plenty?
Good and Plenty smells great. Have you smelled a Good and Plenty lately?
Well, I'm going to go buy a few boxes as soon as we leave this theater. Yeah.
Kids have been huffing Good and Plenty.
Really?
Right, well, you're out of the box.
It turns out that it was the mixture of cucumbers and Good and Plenty. Some researchers guessed that the candy brought back pleasant memories of childhood. By the way, among the very least arousing scents, men's cologne. So
if they added cucumbers to the snack stands at movie theaters, those teenage date nights could get a little more interesting.
What if you?
I'll have a cucumber and a Good and Plenty.
What if you sweat on a cucumber?
And then rub it on the dentist chair.
Right. Exactly,
yeah.
What if you give...
Like if there was a sweaty cucumber on a dentist chair?
Oh, you're like, in, man.
Wait a minute. Yeah. How about...
What if you rubbed Good and Plenty on your chest?
How about a...
I do. You know
what? What do you do with it, Roxanne?
Where do you rub it?
How about a rhesus monkey eating Good and Plenty? Is that exciting?
Yeah. A rhesus pieces.
A rhesus pieces. Carl, how did Jane Curtin do in our quiz?
Well, Jane needed at least two correct answers to win for Karen Wolf, but she had just one correct answer.
I'm humiliated.
Jane Curtin was a star of Saturday Night Live and the hit TV shows Kate and Ally and Third Rock from the Sun. You can see her in TNT's presentation of The Librarian, Quest for the Spear, and The Librarian, Return to King Solomon's Mines. Jane Curtin, thank you so much for being here.